I hadn't started the recording before. Clever me. Anyways, like I said, I'm going to do an exercise with y'all now for the purposes of getting in touch with things that might be impeding your business progress. So if you're not here today and you're listening to the recording, I urge you to do the exercise. And if you are here today, hopefully it'll stoke some questions for you or perhaps shift something for you, so that you can move forward. And I'm going to time this. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes for this first part, which is that I want you to write down three things that you want to create in your business. I'm not putting any time frame on this. I'm not saying three things you want to create within 90 days. That's up to you. It could be the distant future. It could be the near future. Quantifying it would be helpful. For instance, say you want to make $5,000 by July 1st. That's nice. I love that. Specificity is good. But it doesn't have to be. So opening my stopwatch. So just start writing three things that you want to create in your business. Go. You have about 15 seconds. Bless you.
Sorry.
Okay, so for this next part, I just want to talk a little bit about magical thinking. And specifically, magical business thinking, right? Say you land a new client, and it's wonderful, but you say something to yourself like, boy, am I lucky, or, you know, amazing that happened. That's that's magical thinking, because things don't happen that way in business or otherwise. There's a cause and an effect. And in business, we have to think in terms of ourselves being the cause of whatever the effect is. I don't think necessarily you can't control what other people do, but I think in terms of creating income and creating a following, there is a lot that is definitely in our hands. And when business is slow, very often, if you look back over your shoulder a few months, you will see what went on. Oh my goodness, I was sick. I didn't do anything for a few weeks. I didn't do any networking. I didn't have any sales conversation. There's usually a cause, right? So for this next part, what I want you to do is go through each thing that you want. And I want you to write a little about what you need to give up in order to have it. So let me see, I'll elaborate a little more. You know, you may be, I mean, for a long time, I was stuck in a certain degree of frustration about my playwriting career. And that frustration was not allowing me to move forward in any direction. Not as a playwright, not as anything, you know. And I had to let go of that in order to focus on building my coaching practice. It's not to say I'll never write a play again, but I had to let go of beating myself up around not writing or frustration and energy that was going into that area, because what you pay attention to grows, so that I could really focus on what mattered to me, which was, you know, creating an income, making a living on my own, doing my own business. So for each of these things, whatever your goal is, think about what it is you have to give up. And the way you give something up, it sounds, you know, it sounds like it's difficult, and it is challenging. It's not easy, but the way to let go or release something is to go after something that you want more. The way to let go is to reach for something that you want more. And that usually shines a light on what's in the way. So again, take a few minutes. I'm going to reset the timer and go through each of these things, write what it is you need to let go of, starting now.
Rati?
Yeah.
This is just for the first one?
No, for all three.
Okay.
That's why this is a long pause. Go through each one.
All right, thanks.
Thirty more seconds. All righty then. Pens down, or should I say pen down, because Kim, right now, full disclosure, you are the student representative. you are the coach client representative of the group. God bless your pointed head. But I hope everybody listens to this and plays along on their own time. So no pressure. Do you care to share some of what you got there in terms of your wants and what you need to let go of?
Yeah. Well, I had to get the first one out of the way, which is it's depressingly the same, which is more income. And so what do I have to give up in order to have more income? So I put down time, attention, energy, and money drains.
Like, say that again. Time, attention, energy,
and money drains.
Money drains. Oh, okay. Yes. Giving up money drains. Interesting.
Yeah.
More income. More income.
More income, yep.
Money drains. All right.
I also feel like I have to give up judgment around having to look for a part-time job that would relieve some economic stress. Yeah. So I have to stop thinking of that as, you know, evidence of failure.
Right.
So, yeah. That's a big piece. Second one, I'm not sure how to phrase this exactly, but it's something about more leverage, more credibility. I called it something else. And I guess I mean, part of my challenge is that I have a foot in both the creative world and the business world, which means I feel like I don't really belong in either one. Because what I do bridges them, and so
yeah,
I haven't had like years and years of experience of the corporate world, and I, you know, it's just. So that credibility piece is hard won, particularly when you're trying to market what you do as being a viable addition to business culture.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I have to give up in order to have that? I think it what I have to give up is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting with people in spheres that I consider to be above me.
Right.
I really just have to push myself out there. And I feel like I've been doing that pretty well this week. So, you know.
That's terrific. Good. Yeah.
The third one, it kind of lines with the first, so with the second one.
Mm-hmm.
That is visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Greater visibility. And I have to give up fear. Staying safe, staying small, staying invisible. And I also, I think I have to give up, now that I'm thinking about it, I have to give up a tendency to be satisfied with small wins.
Can you tell me a little more about that?
It's like, okay, I didn't get a piece of work that I was really hoping for, really going after. But I did get this, you know, I got a coffee meeting, you know, so at least I got their contact information and, you know, and I think that's all very well and good. But sometimes, maybe that's not the best example, but sometimes I get the feeling that if I can check something off of my to-do list and then go on to the other five pieces that I'm trying to get done in a day,
mm-hmm.
I don't really take the time to absorb the, oh, shit, I really wanted that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let myself really go there and feel the failure piece.
It's been coming up a lot for me.
I mean, just there's all these things in the vernacular now about the gifts of failure. There's a woman who wrote the Harry Potter series has an right? And it's like, I don't really let myself feel that because I'm afraid I'm going to label myself and then I'll be toast.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts if I might share them. I think part of what you're talking about, checking things off the to-do list, feeling good that you got the phone number, and you know, maybe you wanted to have more than that. What did you want specifically? A meeting? What did you want more than the phone number?
Well,
what did you want?
I've been pretty successful at getting meetings.
Okay.
Let's see. There was a piece of work through a consulting group I'm part of that I had pitched for, and I didn't get it.
Okay, you didn't get it.
Right, and the reason was that there are other people in the organization, essentially was communicated to me, that have a heftier resume in this area.
And what was the small win?
There wasn't really one in that case, but what I do in that sort of situation is just, you know, thanks for the feedback, and then I just go on to the next part of my list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dwell on the ouch.
You know right. I mean? Well, yeah, that's interesting. I think, the thing that came to mind is I'm not sure how dissatisfaction with the small wins, I don't know. I think there's a difference between celebrating even the small wins,
at,
you know, being your own cheerleader, so to speak, and being satisfied.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's probably true.
It's not the same.
kind of means, okay, end of story.
Yeah, I threw it at the wall. It didn't stick. That's it. End of story.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There's a big difference there.
Yes, there is. So now, and for me, I think I have to be careful. And one of the reasons I have so many.
Could you get close to your microphone again? I can't quite hear you.
Sorry. One of the reasons I have so many plates in the air is because it makes it easy to just focus on small wins. It's like, whoop, that didn't work. I'm going to focus on this thing over here.
Right. That's the other part of what I was thinking.
Yes.
Shiny penny syndrome. In other words, yeah, whatever you can do that's right in front of you, you get to check it off the list, and that feels good. But at the end of the day, cumulatively speaking, you're now closer to where you wanted to get. And I think that has to do with not, you know, simply allowing yourself to take satisfaction in, okay, I checked it off the list. And yeah, rather than, okay, I applaud myself, but I'm not satisfied yet because I didn't get it, so I'm going to try again, you know?
Yeah. You know,
but the shiny penny thing, all the little things that you do that are not connected to a bigger picture, I think that's a big
piece.
The shiny
penny syndrome. Yes.
Yeah.
That are not connected to the ultimate goal. Yes.
Yeah, and if all you have to show for the end of the day is a bunch of little things that got done, but there's no sense of how they moved you forward. Or you've just kind of noticed you've conveniently forgotten what it was you wanted in the first place.
Yeah, that can happen too.
Doesn't it? Yeah. So I think it's very important how you look at these things. I think when you feel bad, you're right. You should feel real bad. You should let yourself experience those feelings, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference between that and beating yourself up.
Well, and getting stuck. I've seen people get stuck. I've been around people who are stuck.
Yeah.
In sort of, oh, I'm a loser. Why try? It feels like quicksand to me.
That's why you have to celebrate the attempt. You can feel bad that it didn't work, but you must celebrate the attempt. Otherwise, there's the danger of drawing that conclusion of, I'm a loser. I was never meant to have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Didn't work, but celebrate the attempt.
And just ante up again, you know?
No.
Learn from it. What might you do differently the second time? But do it again. Try again. You know, I mean, Sharon, who, you know, she's a client of mine. I posted things in the group for her. She just had her first novel published. It was actually her third novel. But it's the first one that got published.
Yeah.
And each of those novels represented, God knows, 5 years of her life.
Yeah.
But she could have stopped writing novels.
That's right.
Real page turner, by the way. I highly recommend it. The Forgetting Time. Wonderful book. So, yeah, that is it. You know, I'm thinking of starting a show. I think I'm going to do a show or a podcast or something and call it Success Stories of Two-Time Losers. People who have failed at least twice, you know, before they achieved what they wanted.
That's right.
Yeah, and actually that reminds me of a story. I don't know who it was. I don't think it was Einstein. Alexander Graham Bell, I think it was. He did 1,000 experiments before he arrived at the light bulb.
That's right.
And people said, how did it feel? What did it feel like to fail? a thousand times. And I think his reply was, I didn't fail a thousand times. It took a thousand experiments.
That's right.
You can't stop experimenting.
That's right. It's just you have to see those fails as part of the bigger picture.
That's right.
It's part of the work.
Right. Otherwise, they just become a check mark off the list. Yeah, I tried it.
Yeah.
You know? And there was something else that you said for the first one, more money, more money. First of all, I think that the tools that we're cultivating here in terms of tracking your numbers, really getting specific about what do you need more money, how much, what, how much money do you actually need, I think specificity there is very important.
Well, I have to say that that was very helpful.
Good.
That exercise about identifying the amount of money that you want to make in 3 months' time and just breaking it down into phone calls,
yeah,
that was really a game changer for me.
Good, good.
I wanted to tell you website that I discovered called Zoho.com. It's client CRM, which is client relationship management.
Oh, okay.
You can sign up for the free version, which sounds like it should be simple, but you have to be intentional about it and not get stuck in the 15-day trial and then they want you to pay for it.
put it on the Facebook page. What makes you think of it? But right now, by the way.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why this Facebook thing is just not second nature yet. Okay. Facebook, Zoho. Okay.
Zoho, put it there, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my feeling about Facebook, since you bring it up and people can have a hard time, I don't care if you never go on Facebook. Just go to our group. Just go to visit our group. That's all. That's the only reason to go on Facebook is to go participate in the group, you know, the Facebook page.
All right.
It's very handy. I find it very handy.
All right.
But, you know, you were talking about money drains and the part-time job, and I agree. There is absolutely no shame in the part-time job. Absolutely not. I don't think there's no shame in anything. There's no shame in investing in your business using credit cards and having a plan to pay them off, or juggling 0% credit cards. Because, you know, frankly, businesses don't start to see a profit for, they say, a year. It's not true. It's more like 3 years, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's more like 3 years.
So, yeah, it's more like three. So judgment in any sense is less than productive. And if you're talking about energy, you have to be real also. The part-time job, great. What about that? What about your energy? You might have to give up beating yourself up over not having a part-time job because you might have to give up that belief.
No, that's a big
something. But it's something, you know, to really tease out. Because I know you're nice New England, you know, there's a little bit of that Puritan kind of work ethic, you know.
Yeah.
But we have to work smart.
I know. Working smart. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love systems. And I really appreciate your bringing that one up. I'll check it out for sure. Systems will set you free, right, and save a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, giving up, you know, the money leaks, that's another one, you know.
I know. Don't have a budgeting.
Budgets are helpful. It certainly is, though, a lot more fun to give up your fear and risk being seen and getting more work than it is to, you know, give up having coffee with friends. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. So to that effect.
Yes.
There is something called Maine Startup and Create Week, which is like a week-long festival.
Do me a favor, Kim. I can't hear you very well. Is there a way you can get closer to the speaker on your computer?
Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah, it's much better, yeah. So what is this resource?
This is like an entrepreneurial startup effort, kind of a conference.
Yeah.
And they have speakers, and they have breakout sessions. And so I could have volunteered a day, you know, spent a day at the desk and then gotten it free, or I could have bought a ticket at the early bird price. And I decided this year to buy a ticket at the early bird price because I'm feeling flush in February. So I did. And I've been going, you know, picking and choosing where I go, but I've set the intention that I am going to create at least 10 new contacts out of this week.
I like it.
Yeah, that has forced me to make sure that I ask some questions of all the speakers that don't sound like stupid questions.
There are no stupid questions, only stupid people. Yeah. And you're not a stupid person.
No, but I ask stupid questions. And today, there was the guy who was in charge of our session was really, really good.
Uh-huh.
I liked what he had to say, and I liked what he shared of his business model. And so just marched up at the end and told him something about, you know, what I'd invented as a team tool and it's all about process design and innovation. And so we're going to have lunch tomorrow.
Third
session. So, I was proud of that. And I've been really good about just making myself get people's business cards, you know, say, I'd love to take you to coffee sometime and ask you about XYZ. And I've been doing much better about that. And a big part of it has really been this breaking down what that amount of money means, just in terms of the people you have to connect with. And
Well, that's terrific. Yeah, it makes it concrete, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering something, Kim. You know, first of all, we haven't talked a lot about JV partners or people who you team up with so that there's a win-win. We haven't talked too much about that yet. And the other thing we haven't talked about, especially for the kind of business you have, is do they have sponsors at this event that you're going to?
Yeah, but they're kind of pricey.
Well, I'm wondering about, first of all, the thing is, do you know who your ideal client is?
Yes.
Who is it? What's your ideal client?
Well, my ideal client is a team manager who needs to spur better communication behaviors on the part of their team.
Okay.
And that's for the experiential design piece. Mm-hmm. And also, for the presentation circles, my ideal client is it's a manager who's got a lot of young women on their team who need to develop presentation skills.
What type of events or conferences would folks like that be at or be attending?
Well, this type of event.
Really?
Conference. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There are a lot of young women in their 20s. And the other thing is that a friend of mine is
putting
together a main women in business conference.
Mm-hmm.
September 2017. And she had a cocktail party at a restaurant downtown last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't... I wasn't going to go. I didn't want to have to go back to Portland again, blah, blah. But I made myself go, and I'm really glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was full of potential clients for me.
Well, I got to tell you something. I mean, I know I'm cutting in here a little, but just as a point of information, sponsorships, I know they cost money. But they are an incredible way. If you want to be more visible, you may have to give up your anxiety about doing a sponsorship, for instance. If it's something you've never tried, you know, what I think, you know, insanity, the definition of it, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. It may be something you need to look at and you need to try. And then at some point, I might do a class on that, on sponsorships and how to vet them, how to choose them. Because it's a way, it is a way to grow your list, right, for like nobody's business. And people get, it's also a way, you know, often sponsorships, part of the sponsorship is getting up on the stage and talking about what you do. It's not just standing by a booth, right?
Yeah.
So you've mentioned two things you want more of, credibility and visibility. It's really important to look at what you haven't done about that so far. Look at why, and probably the thing you need to give up has to do with why there are things you haven't tried.
Okay.
You follow?
Yes.
It's scary.
It is.
But that's where the giving up the fear comes in.
Yeah, it does.
Did you come to the call, or when you were doing the exercise, did anything come up for you by way of a question, since this is officially the Q&A call? And I have to say, folks, if you don't think you can make it, you can email me questions, too, and I can address them on the call, all right? So that could be also, you know, get bang for your buck. I can talk about questions you have, even if you're not here. But did you have anything you wanted to ask about, Kim?
Well, in some ways, they sort of addressed some of the issues that have been coming up for me.
Good.
Yeah, I would think so. I know that I struggle with distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because everybody was out of the house except for me and the dog for like 4 days. And I still
Heaven.
Right? You would think so.
Yeah.
I'd get to 3 or 4 in the afternoon and be pissed that there was nothing on my big to-do list, which is like, you know, my priority to-do list, that had gotten done. Because I had spent all this time and energy doing other shit. And I was just like, oh, fuck. It's me. So
what is it? The dinging is you? What?
No. No, the distraction, the source of distraction is me and my cycles with the shiny penny thing.
Yes.
That's really
so you had a big list and nothing was getting done off of it. Is that what you said?
I realized that after the second day. And so,
what was on? Oh, give me an example of a big list for the day.
Oh, I've got to finish my blog post.
Okay.
And I've got to, you know, line it up and put it on LinkedIn and put it on the blah, blah, and blue, blue. And that's been on the to-do list all fucking month.
What things get done first instead of that?
It's like I clean up around the periphery, you know. Oh, I've got to go to the store. I've got to walk the dog. You know, it's just endless.
Yes, you need a personal assistant, darling. You need somebody. You need, you know, it's summertime. The kids are running around looking for some extra change. You got to get somebody to walk that dog. All that, you know, all that is by way of saying that there's a certain degree of ruthlessness on your own behalf.
Yeah. Well, I did once I realized that.
Uh-huh.
And I also realized on Saturday that I was going to be gone for Monday and Tuesday, and I didn't want to interrupt or lose out on the conference by having to come home and feed and walk the dog.
Uh-huh.
So I decided, or water the garden plot.
Uh-huh.
So I decided to put the dog at the vet's for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
But somebody else take care of the dog.
Okay.
The garden plot if they would water my plot, and they said yes. And immediately,
good for you.
Yeah, you know, it's so silly, the stuff that's in the way of that. I don't know, do I have this like picture that I have to do everything perfect and I have to do everything?
Well, that's a good question. I wonder that. Absolutely. You may have to give up being perfect for sure. The theme of the show today, folks, in case you haven't caught on, is what do I have to give up? And perfection is often at the top of the list for people.
Oh, it's so ugly.
I don't know if it's ugly. It's just human, right? I just wonder if, you know, I've talked, this is real important if you tend to be at the mercy of shiny penny syndrome. Setting an intention for the day, at the beginning of the day, not just entering the day in a frenzy. I don't know that that's you, Kim, but I know for a lot of people, they don't give themselves that time in the morning to get centered, right, and take care of themselves, whether it's working out or just, you know, meditating, whatever. Setting an intention for the day before you open the email or do any of that is vital, you know.
Yeah.
I think.
I do too.
And also, you don't get to do anything else until one of those big things gets done.
Yeah.
You just say, this has to be done, or I can't do anything else till this is done.
Right.
Right? There was something else that was tickling my brain of that nature. Oh, yeah, this is a good one, too. What 3 things can I do before 12 noon that will bring in, that are most likely to bring in revenue? What 3 actions can I take before 12 noon, right, that have the highest probability of bringing in revenue? Chances are there's something scary like pick up the phone and call somebody, you know, and ask them, you know, for a, you know, a sales conversation, you know, a meeting of some kind. But there's usually 3 things that are going to get you out in front of people. Or it can be, what are 3 things I can do before noon that are going to make me the most visible, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a filter. You want to set a filter for the day so that it's really clear. And you can catch yourself when you veer off the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a horrible feeling when you have an expanse of time that's unstructured and it's just for you and you just find yourself unfocused and not doing anything with it. And, you know, that's the thing I find, you know, I work with a lot of people with ADHD and we all have a strain of that these days. And the thing about that creative brain wiring is that it resists structure but thrives within it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the banks of the river. So if you know you have an expanse of unstructured time, it's all the more important to give it a little structure, you know, so that you can relax and play with intention, not have any, you know, not beat yourself up, but actually have that regenerative, restorative time and work with intention.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's yeah.
That's good.
Right.
It's good to.
And man, I think if you have a few days to yourself, there's nothing at your beck or whatever thing, I would definitely make a pleasure sandwich there. You know, say I have it. You're right. But for the first 2, maybe 3 hours of the day, I'm just doing crossword puzzles and drinking coffee, whatever your thing is. But I know at 11 a.m., this movement has to happen.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, that is really helpful.
Good.
Thank you.
I'm glad. I hope it's hope it's helpful to everybody. And I can't tell you, if you had not shown up, there wouldn't have been a call. Basically, that's the way it is. And that's so you really we all thank you, I'm sure. And again, folks, I hope, and I know, if you can't make it, no shame, no blame there. You know, I was considering just doing the exercise, and nothing else. But, I think it's great, Kim, because we all struggle with the same stuff, you know?
Yeah, we do.
Ultimately, I don't care if you're, an experiential facilitator or, you know, a designer, experienced designer, or a musician, a theater artist, or anything else. It's the same. If you want to make money at it, you're in business, and these challenges are across the board, in my opinion.
Yeah.
All right. So I think with that, without further ado, I'm going to say, folks, next week is the off week, and so our next meeting will be on July 6th, Wednesday, July 6th. Okay, and I think that's all, folks. Thanks for coming, Kim.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Leslie.
Yeah, and I'll talk to everybody in a couple of weeks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.